We may as well get started. Those who join us will join in pretty easily, I think. We're just going to have a nice conversation, I think, a bit of a follow-up or flow-on from ATD in Washington, D.C. this year. I'm just now scanning the board. I think half of us were in ATD and half of us roughly weren't. Terry was there for a very short visit. I think it was 24 hours or something, weren't you, mate? A day and a half. Something like that. So this is a bit of a wrap up. We'll start with those who were there, I think, and then I'll sort of lean it over to those who weren't, if you want to ask some questions. But I might start maybe with an easy one. Jim, you were there both years, Jimbo Clark and Catherine. I'm not sure if you were there last year. Terry, you've been a little last couple as well. I'm curious as to what you thought about the foot traffic. Like, do you think it was as busy this year down on the expo floor as any other year, or was it quieter? What was your feeling there? Terry, you want to start?
Well, it's hard to tell because I was not at manning a booth, so it's more difficult to tell. But I heard the numbers were lower this year, and maybe that has affected my perception. I mean, it did seem that there was overall slower traffic, but again, it's hard to tell because I was not manning a booth here.
Where did you hear it was lower numbers? Did someone mention that?
Good question. Yes, someone mentioned it to me, and the reasoning was that the ATD gave was that last year it was Obama, so they think that, you know, it had a spike last year and therefore, it dipped this year.
Yeah,
that was one reasoning. Yeah,
that
I might have been someone at ATD. I mean, I signed up. Yeah, I might have asked them that. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I think there was a big spike because of Obama last year. Jimbo, you didn't have a booth last year, and probably a different feeling, isn't it, having one this year and not having one last year? Did you notice any difference in the?
I think demographically. Last year, I bumped into more teachers. I think Obama's a big draw for teachers, school teachers, California school system, that area. And this year, I think they're obviously, as they say in America, closer to the flagpole. You know, the closer you are to the flagpole, the closer you are to DC, the more government-related entities. So as I was looking through the leads that we got, there are a lot of people from government that probably weren't at last year. So I think in terms of more government people, then I think last year I met more people from Central and South America, which again makes sense. San Diego, it's a closer connecting flight. And I think the big difference this year is last year I was playing both sides of the conference. So I was actually attending sessions and spending a lot of time up, you know, just hanging out with the participants side or on the conference side. Where I think this year, other than sticking a box on my head and walking around it before Oprah's gig, I didn't even go into the other side. I was purely focused on the expo. So those would be the big differences that I kind of guess am guessing at more than have any real evidence.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Eric, you've been manning the booth for years now. What did you notice much difference in the foot traffic or the types of people that were coming by the booth, as Jimbo mentioned?
Well, I would say that it didn't feel quite as busy and frantic, but you know, Monday is always the busiest day on the floor of the expo, and in terms of booth traffic, more people will try to get that out of the way early, it seems to me. But we got, I would say this year we had more high value leads than we've had in a while. We always get a few people who need something right away, but while the overall traffic may have felt a little bit lighter, I can't speak to the actual numbers. I haven't seen anything released by ATD, but I would expect it to be a little bit lower. And the, as Jim said, the type of people who show up is going to be different. There were a lot more government agency folks this year, as would be expected, being right there in DC, at least for the US government. It just seemed like it was little bit lower traffic, but we did get some very, very good leads. So, you know, we got a couple of clients who we have talked with in the past, or maybe we've worked with in the past, but haven't done anything recently with, who said, I've got to get something going in the next 3 months. What can you do?
I mean, I was wandering the floor, and I've been to the last few as well. And the Monday spike didn't seem nearly as high as last year, for example. But I mean, I don't know. I wasn't closely observing, but it felt like it was just generally steadier. It wasn't a huge amount of traffic for the 3 days, but it just seemed kind of a good steady amount of people. Apologies for the person cutting concrete blocks across the road here. It's only every now and then. They're building a wall, I think. Catherine, you've only...
Sorry?
You were there for a day. Yeah.
Yeah. I joined ATD in 2007, and I remember the total numbers back then were close to about 18,000, 19,000. And then there was a big dip. I remember the sort of coming off of the U.S. financial crisis in 2009. By 2010, it was about 8,000 attendees. And then when ASTD rebranded in 2015, the numbers started to climb back up. And my understanding was, I don't know what the numbers were last year, but they had forecasted that there were about 13,000 attendees this year. So I think that they're starting to climb up to at least they're inching up. I don't know if the attendance at the conference this year if last year's was higher, but from the previous few years, it's significantly higher than it had been in the low of ATD. I walked the vendor floor on Tuesday. And it didn't feel as hectic, but I did feel like I could have real conversations with people at the booths. So maybe that's what lended to Eric's discussion about more, because usually there's like a frenzy and you're just, and I really felt like I could have meaningful, I had a few very meaningful conversations on the vendor floor where usually it just feels like I feel snowed, like I've had sound bites thrown at me and the other way, that this time it actually felt like, because there wasn't this madness on the floor, it felt better organized too. It felt like I could have better conversations. So there was a few less people from other years that I've attended. And it's funny, I live in DC and a lot of my clients are federal. I didn't bump into a single federal client, but I bumped into all of my nonprofits and all of my higher ed. So that was really interesting. And usually when I attend this particular conference, I guess I attended ICE, when was it, in 2011 or 12 in DC the last time, I bumped into all of my federal clients, every single one of them. And I didn't this time. So I'm not sure, but I did, like I said, I bumped into quite a few higher ed and non-for-profit clients, walking the vendor floor. It might've been because I didn't opt to go to learning sessions this time. And in the past I have volunteered, I didn't volunteer either. So I didn't bump into folks that way. So anyway, that's sort of my take on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice hearing that actually from Eric, and I guess you're reinforcing it too there, that because it wasn't as manic down there on the floor, and at first glance you'd think, well, a lot of people would be good, but perhaps not. You know, perhaps that slower, steadier traffic is better for longer conversations and higher quality conversations as a booth operator, I suppose, rather than the constant grip of people at your booth where you're just catching numbers and catching people's, whatever those little things you scan are, whatever you call them, QR codes and things like that. And those who aren't with us today, I remember chatting to Mark Rebilliard from the Color Accounting Group, and Mark Schenk too, I think, from Anecdote. They're not with us today, but they gave me similar feedback on the last day when I was there. They said, you know, it hasn't been as high a foot traffic, but they have had some really good quality conversations. So maybe that's certainly a benefit of a little less traffic coming by. And I think, I mean, I wasn't on a booth. I might ask again, Eric and Jimbo here. I mean, I guess we hinted at this, but the types of conversations you were having, have they changed year on year? And for any, like, I don't know, are people asking for slightly different things this year? Are they still after technical or online solutions, for example? Or, you know, I don't know. Have the conversations changed year on year, in your opinion, Eric? I'll start with you.
Well, you know, there's always some flavor of the month or the year in terms of what organizations seem to be really trying to focus on as their, at least in the leadership development arena where we work. And that, you know, a few years ago, it was sort of really all about innovation. And then it became last year a bit. And this year, it sort of really seemed to be at this peaking point of everything is about design thinking. There's a lot of talk about behavioral economics and just how that's impacting and how people can be thinking better. And so for us, it's required rethinking about how we market some of our innovation work. But overall, to come back to what you were really, what it sounded like what you were asking, Pete, is that it seemed like because there were so many companies offering to be the micro learning source, they were the platform, they were the technology, they were the way that people were going to deliver learning opportunities, that the people we were talking to were happy to see somebody who was actually content based as opposed to just platform based. It looks like it felt like this year there were so many companies that were really just pitching the platform. It was all about the methodology for learning as opposed to what was the content that they were trying to get across. Now, that could have just been because of our you know, the experience that I had, but there were a lot of vendors that were specifically really pitching the methodology rather than what was behind it.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the last few years, certainly there have been a lot of platform people there, right? And people helping to build e-learning or other solutions. And I may have had my blinkers on this year, I'm not sure. But for me, it didn't seem nearly as much as though they were getting that much attention, the e-learning stuff or the platform stuff. In fact, you know, the e-learning brothers, those guys and gals who wear those orange shirts and they're sort of, you know, in previous years they were hooting and hollering and they were giving away $2 bills and all sorts of interesting things. And they had a lot of people at their booth and they were making money. They were actually signing people up right there and then for subscriptions in the last few years. But this year, the times that I wandered past that area, it didn't seem like they had nearly as much traffic this time around. And yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know whether that's a slight shift in what people are searching for, whether it's a reinforcement of what you've just said, Eric. You know, they're looking for people who can actually, you know, deliver on good content now. But yeah, there just seemed less hype, certainly a lot less hype this time around the platforms and the e-learning side of it. Not that it's died by any means. Did anyone else, I mean, Terry, you may or may not have noticed that because you were there and you were talking to the post-workshop learning guys, MindMarker and stuff. Were you looking at the platforms and the electronic stuff while you were there? You're on mute, Terry.
I did notice there were lots and lots of them, that which made it actually much easier for me to cover all the booths in one day. Whereas last year it took me 2 days, maybe because I know some of them, I've encountered them before, but the fact that there's so much similarity, it allowed me, I could eliminate discussions as I just walked past them. So I did notice that there are very few content providers. Yeah. That's the only thing that I've noticed. So lots of platform providers, definitely. And there are lots of e-content providers too. Now, well, at least half a dozen with attempting to provide content on the e-platform here.
What I mean, you may not have been looking at this, but how many of the booth providers do you think were sort of platform-based and micro-learning and e-learning booths as a percentage compared to the others, do you think?
Oh, maybe as much as 50%.
Okay.
Maybe as much as that, yeah. If I had to pick a guess, that would be it, yeah. Yeah.
All right, thanks. I've still got a bunch of questions here, but I'm going to throw it out to those who weren't there, like, you know, Stephen and Ricky and Jim in Singapore. If you're interested, do you have any questions you'd like to ask about what happened and what we saw and what we smelled?
yeah, Peter, I've got one, Stephen, in Sydney. For those that attended the conference part, did they see a general theme coming out in the different sessions? And if they did, what were some of those themes? My market is B2B, so I don't do any government, I don't do any not-for-profit. It's purely the B2B world. And it would just be interesting to see if there were some themes that people could comment on.
I didn't attend any of the sessions. I didn't buy the full ticket. I'm not sure Catherine did. I don't think Terry did. And Eric was busy on his booth. But look, if you guys have anything to throw in there, did you notice? Did you look at the agenda of the general sessions? I didn't even really take a good look, to be honest.
I didn't either. Yeah.
I didn't go to ATD, but I've been to a number of conferences this year, and design thinking has been like at every conference and mentioned in almost every session.
Hi, Jacqueline. When did you join us? I didn't even notice.
about 15 minutes ago.
Okay. My apologies, you didn't come up on my screen, but lovely to have you with us. Yeah, okay, design thinking, and that's... something Eric mentioned earlier. Yes. I don't know if you heard that. Okay, cool.
I did hear that, but it's been everywhere in the US conferences anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jacqueline.
Sorry, Stephen. Yeah, none of us actually paid any attention to the general sessions. Eric, did you look at them at all, or did you?
Well, I didn't have an opportunity. I had a pass and was expecting to try and look at a couple. We did have two sessions ourselves, so one being on constructive debate, which was well attended, but you know, you get 80 or so people and they're really engaged and you think, oh, that's a great one. But Nelson Sokin did one on design thinking and it was 400 plus people, standing room only, and they had to close the doors and say no more people allowed.
Yeah. Mm. The other thing, Stephen, that I've been running into at the conferences I've attended is the idea of online learning, but designing it so that the learner guides the journey, right? And so it very much around people personalizing and selecting what they want to learn and then that leading them to something else. And sort of Google, I was at a conference where Google spoke and they are reworking their entire learning and development department so that each individual can create their own roadmap for learning and development. That I've seen in a few places as sort of an emerging theme. Sort of, yep, less focused on the technology, but more focused on content, sort of trying to marry those two things together, I think.
Thank you.
Okay, and...
If I could just throw something in on the design thinking trend, I'm based in Taipei, so satelliting China a lot. And one of my good friends does facilitation training, like technology participation, all of that. He's from ICA. And he said that, you know, up until 2 years ago, public programs, training of trainers to use facilitation skills is maybe 10%, 20%. But in the last 2 years, it's moved to almost 50 or 60%. And the reason is that people are flying in from China to Taiwan to take his courses here because A, the guy's a master, and B, it's cheaper what he charges in Taiwan is less, including flight tickets and airfare, is less than what they're charging in China. And so just that design thinking frenzy, as it were, and the focus on the facilitation side of it as opposed to just the tool side is huge in China right now, just as a trend.
Thank you. Anyone else who wasn't at ATD want to post a question or pose one to the rest of us?
I've got one. I think, Eric, you mentioned behavioral economics. I'm curious just to get a bit more on that, because that kind of is close to my heart.
Yeah, what specifically about, like?
Well, it's something that typically governments would be playing with, but more and more corporates are looking at it. So, yeah, it sounds like it might be becoming a bit more mainstream, which is what I'm seeing here as well. That there's more and more emphasis on, you know, the softer side of influencing rather than hardcore, say, negotiations, you know, as people need to collaborate more and that sort of thing.
Well, I can't speak for everywhere, but at least as most of you who are not in the U.S. have undoubtedly observed, there is a wide divide politically in the U.S. And there's been a lot of questions about how we drive organizational development when there's so much polarity, and how can we continue to develop the ability to challenge our own assumptions and help others challenge their own assumptions, so that we can begin to be more strategic in how we think and act in organizations. And so behavioral economics has provided a way for many people who would not give as much credit to those softer, what we often refer to the difficult skills, how we behave as human beings and how we interact with each other, that by couching it in terms of the latest research in behavioral economics, it often lets people hear what you're trying to get them to do a little easier, if they're not as open to thinking about how that we, you know, there was a big popularity for quite some time, and still quite popular, in terms of emotional intelligence, and that was a big buzzword for a number of years in organizational development and learning, and it's not so hot as a topic right now, but it's still vitally important for people to consider that kind of thing, and the demonstration of empathy, the ability to work with others, is still fundamental to success in organizations. And so that's where just the topic of behavioral economics often gives people an opportunity to say, okay, I'm a little more open to hearing about this now, because a lot of people don't like the concept that you could, that touchy-feely might have some impact on the bottom line to their business.
Thanks, mate. Jim, does that help? You can just give us a thumbs up if you want.
Yep, that was brilliant. Thanks a lot.
No worries. I might just quickly ask, excuse me, Jimbo, as a first-time booth person in at ATD, how did that feel? And you know, I guess, what did you learn from it?
Well, I was surprised, to be honest with you, just how busy we were. Maybe I didn't expect. I mean, I think in day one, there was 15 minutes where we weren't all talking to somebody. And day two, maybe 20 minutes. And when I say all, so I had myself and two salespeople, my wife and my 14-year-old daughter, who I thought that they were just going to be observing for a while and then go run around DC. But it ended up being all hands on deck, including, you know, as Peter mentioned beforehand, my daughter was out there, you know, with the materials, talking to people, and you know, just holding her own. I was is pretty impressive. And my wife, who's not a native English speaker, she's Taiwanese, and she doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in her ability to express herself, was just out there and because there was just, you know, there were so many people there. So I think in that regards, the ability to have an interaction with people was higher than I expected. I had missed the deadline because I'd wanted to speak because I thought, you know, it's kind of, you want the 1-2 punch. I think you're going all in if you're only going expo, right? And I started the RFP before I left America, and I tried to finish it when I landed in Taiwan, and I was 1 day too late. And I was so mad about that. But I think this being my first time, I'm glad I wasn't thinking about the other side of the deal at all. I was just focused on, you know, how do we do what we do? And so I think getting clear on the conversation, I think my biggest learning is I got to start with a question instead of, you know, a telling. And it wasn't until the very end that I started just, you know, starting with, so, you know, you seem curious, what are you curious about? Or what are you interested in about, you know, based on what you see in the booth design or whatever, and finding out a little bit more from them, because I would get, like, you know, all into it. Then I'd find out that they weren't really the person I wanted to be talking to. So like, that's what I'd like to practice more in the future, is getting more qualifying and question oriented and finding out what they're looking for so I can adapt the conversation to that. Yeah. That was great. I already bought my booth for next year.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love that idea of starting with a question too. That's fantastic. Yeah.
And that was, Peter, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
For Jim and Eric, is there a possibility that we start to think that two or three end-to-end complementary members could have a booth?
It happened, didn't it?
We've done that. We've partnered with others to do a booth together. We would always be open to talking with anybody who was interested in doing that. You know, obviously, we wouldn't want to be stepping on each other's toes. But if there's if it's complementary, it's something that we always look forward to doing. We've done it with others in the past, and sometimes they felt like they didn't get the traction that they were looking for, that maybe that ATD wasn't the particular place for them. We've had years where we felt that ATD was, well, when it was ASTD as well, you know, was not the best investment for us for our marketing dollars for the year. But by not showing up, all of our clients who do come there and don't see us, they must be one of the, they've disappeared, and then they go off to some other vendor. So we feel like we have to be there now.
it's too bad that Mark and John Gornstein aren't on the call today, because they do share a booth. They have done for the last few years, and be interesting to hear their thoughts on how it goes and whether there's any dilution, I suppose. But no, they deliberately do it. They like standing there together. And I think overall, I mean, they keep repeating it, Stephen, so I guess it's a good thing for them. It's something we, Ken and I sort of dreamed about probably 5 or more years ago. You know, why don't we have one big, huge space? You know, we're all sort of together, and, you know, we show how strong we are as a community. It could be interesting, for sure. But it has to be done right. I think you have to be careful about where, because the customer or the person walking by can get a little confused, I think, as to what is this, and you know, what does it mean? All right. And I do see that a touch on the stand that the two Marks and John put up. It still works for them for sure. But I think working on the clarity bit, I'm not sure how to do it, but I can see Jimbo nodding his head there, you know.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that they learned is they had a center booth, right?
Yeah.
So you've got the whole 360 degrees, which is a great thing, and then they had they had the three brands on a rotating disc. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then what that meant was that people would look up to see what the brand was, but what was up, what they saw was not incongruent with what they saw downstairs, you know, in terms of the And so they said they literally saw people do this, have a confused look on their face, and just walk away.
Mm.
And so then they finally stopped spinning. So they got the up above thing. So I think the key is having a clear delineation in their branding, but then something in common, something enough in common other than we're mates, to hold it together. But it was fun just that you'd hear them talk about how they look up, they look down, and they just walk away, and it's like, ah!
Yeah.
So how you package, I think, is going to be key. And then what are you saving?
Yeah.
In terms of money, and then what's the payoff in terms of the return? So is it really going to get you more, or is it just going to be more fun?
Hmm. Oh, good questions. Yeah.
Jim, I've got a question for you. Eric, too. What would you say is your payback period for your investment, including, you know, all your expenses, preparation, flight, all of that?
The glib answer? 50 years after I die. that's what I lose my copyright. So, yeah, that's my glib answer.
No, but in terms of sales that you made there, no idea, or what?
It's my first time. I'll defer to Eric. I would love to break even. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it really comes back to exactly that. You just, for us, it's one of those things where we say, "Gee, do we do it again?" The cost is it's the biggest single expense in our annual marketing budget. It's one of those things where we go, "Oh, if we don't get a piece of business from it this year, was it worth it? Was that exposure enough?" And you know, there are all these sort of intangibles that go into the decision to continue to do it. Some of them are there's gains to be had by connecting with people who we, you know, are essentially colleagues and sharing that experience and being able to gain new insights. What are they seeing that might be different from what we're seeing?
Mm.
But, you know, there are years when I'm convinced there has to be a better way to spend our money because we won't get a tangible piece of business out of it. But we've had years where we got numerous clients directly because we were there. In fact, we had clients who told us, "Oh, I'm so glad we ran into you here. You know, we did business with you 5 or 6 years ago. I recognize you. We would love to work with you again. But, you know, your advocate inside our company has moved on, or the person who was your champion, you know, we just didn't know how to connect the dots." That happens a lot. Or somebody has left the company where they knew us from, gone somewhere else. They show up at ATDU in a new role and say, "Oh yeah, I took this workshop with you. You know, this is exactly what we need right now." That's just, it's so hard to pin those down and be able to make a strategy that actually addresses that with any consistency. So we just build it into our budget and say, "We got to go. And how do we do it in the most effective way? How do we, you know, moderate our expenses in terms of what we give away when we're there? You know, is this trinket that people go, yeah, this is the latest thing that people are giving away. We should give this away. Is that really a worthwhile investment?" And, you know, it's just really trying to make a good business case for everything we do when we're. But it could take a couple of years before we get somebody says to, yeah, we saw you at ATD 2 years ago. So to come back to Jim's response, the payoff comes when the copyright's all gone and you're 50 years in the hole.
I will say that just this morning, we got our first order.
Okay.
But you know, I'm a high volume thing. So I think for me to break even, I need like 20 orders. So I'm 1/20th of the way there. But hey.
Yeah, look, Terry, anecdotally that I've heard from others who've had booths, it's not a quick payback.
And it's
not a clear payback.
It's my karmic duty.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a direct payback for the investment you put in, it's probably not the place for you. You know, it's a fuzzy space. You know, Jacqueline's putting her hand up there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Nate. What is next? What's Nate's company?
Next Element. Yeah.
Next Element. Terry, it would be, I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you about that. He has developed sort of different metrics, and he's tested different combination of things, sort of like having the booth of a certain size, speaking, and there was a third piece he added. He had three elements. I'm trying to think of what the third one was. I think it was giving away his assessment and bringing people back for a second conversation. And he told me that he was seeing year over year significant improvements in his returns. And he said by year three, he was doing well. But, you know, so I'm sure he'd be happy to have a conversation with you, because he seemed to be really treating it like a science and really, really experimenting with it.
Well, thanks for that, Jacqueline. You know, Pete, it sounds like it might be a webinar for us, right? Yeah. Because we might be participating. We don't participate in ATD, but we participate in conferences in Singapore and Malaysia, sure. And I'm sure others do too locally. So if Nate has got something worked out that he care to share, that'll be a nice webinar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, bring him on as a bit of a keynote, so to speak. We can all ask him a bunch of questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So for Singapore, next April, we're going to do that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can do it in Singapore for sure. If Nate's there, or we can get him online. I don't know. By the way, I've had a really good response to that. A lot of people saying they're going to turn up, which is fantastic.
Did you? I'm curious, Pete. Talking of Singapore, did you time it with any event that was happening in Singapore?
I did not. I just made sure it wasn't my kids' school holidays, or my wife wasn't away, or and hopefully Jacqueline could be there to help me co-facilitate. I just picked the weekend that worked for me.
Okay.
Within reason. You know, I asked you guys last year, you know, roughly what time of year, and you kind of went, well, March, April-ish. And, I wanted it to be long enough before ATD, because people travel to ATD. So, you know, there has to be a, it's a minefield, as you know, Terry, trying to organize this.
Can I go back to Jimbo, if you don't mind? I would have thought, given the traffic at your booth, right, from what you've reported and what I've noticed too, and that you would have made more sales.
Thank you, Terry. That makes me feel great.
Yeah, but why is that? Do you think it's just because it's so soon after ATD?
No. Okay, so part of it is I'm brand new.
Okay.
I've got no structure for anything. The day after ATD, I paid for my CRM. The first 350 entrances in my CRM were from ATD. Mm. I've got a part-time marketing communications person who supposedly is giving me 40 hours a month. And I've got a full commissioned salesperson that I brought over from Hong Kong who's been on vacation for the first 2 weeks after. So we are, I'm seriously just muddling through. Having said that, the marketing person from Hong Kong, I mean, her style is great. Before she sends any email, she will actually stay up in Hong Kong time and call everybody she's sending to and say, hey, just to let you know, I'm sending you an email and have a quick little 2 minute conversation. She's now calling everybody on my list just to check in with them and see how they're doing. So I think part of what it is we're still figuring out what the real offer is, and that my product is so flexible that literally almost anyone could buy it. And so then how do you make it more compelling for the people that should buy it? Yeah. So a lot of good conversations going on right now. A lot of people that are interested in doing more, you know, being more involved in the in what it is. And then I think the other piece is right now I just don't want to do things that aren't in English for the next year or two. And so kind of all those things that weren't in English kind of got put into another bucket. Yeah. But I think honestly it's just I'm inept. But getting better.
The Eric, do you, both of you, in fact, right? Do you look for licensees at the booths at ATD, or do you get traffic about licensees as opposed to direct organizational clients?
Yes, we get both. So it just it depends. But there are times when the other folks in the booth just funnel everybody who's looking for licensee arrangements to talk to me, and it seems like that's the only people I talk to for periods of time. But you know, it really depends. It depends on the day. It depends on the location. And we get, for example, in Washington, we got people who were predominantly Middle East, European, whereas in 2018, when it was in San Diego, we got a higher number of folks from the Asia Pacific region. So depends. I mean, obviously there's cost structures and everything.
Sure.
And I'll be perfectly honest, our biggest challenge has been China, and it still remains to this day to be mainland China. For licensees, for partners, for consultants. There's, you know, I've had people who sat down with me and said, yes, we'd love to partner with you. We want you to basically give us all your IP and we don't pay you anything for it. Wow, how does that business model work? And they were honest. I said, well, it works for us.
A lot of veiled threats from Chinese. Here's what because I speak Chinese. My wife speaks Chinese. My Hong Kong salesperson speaks Chinese. So I think us being located here, it kind of threw them a bit of a curveball. But the veiled threat that I heard over and over, two things I heard. I had three different people from China come up to me and say, we're the second largest training organization in China.
Okay.
Which might actually be true. Just high number of offices, there's a lot of ways of measuring, right? And then the other thing they said, that the veiled threat is this whole kind of, you know, if you work with me, I can protect your IP.
Yes.
Those other ones, they may not be able to protect, but me, you know, it's almost like the gangster feel. You know, you need some protection here. Let me help you protect your IP. And so anytime like I told my staff, anytime you have that conversation, just put a number one on the rating thing. And then I'll look through the number ones myself. And right now there's still one group that's very, very proactive dealing with my Hong Kong salesperson. And my answer is just continue to make them be proactive. There's no rush.
Thank you. Yes, that was my experience as well. Sometimes it did feel like a veiled threat, even if that was not their intention.
May I ask a question? Is it possible, because I've got to go in a couple of minutes, that at the end of this you send the details of everyone this morning and their websites? Because it'd be good to get a sense of what they do and how they do it. Obviously, I know Jacqueline and Terry as to what they do, but the others would be nice to know. And Jim, I can't call you Jimbo because that's not in my nature, but it'd be nice to know only a few hours away that there might be stuff that Jim and I can look at differently. And the second thing, Peter, is I do a lot of articles, content for a number of business magazines in India, and they often ask me for articles around leadership or design thinking or collaboration, or Jacqueline around engagement. And we say no to that. But I'm just thinking after this morning, if I get one of those requests, can I send it to you and then you send it out to the network? Because we've had some really good traction from those magazines, and I'll get Jill in my office to send you the link that can go out to the magazine articles we've written already. And it might just be a way for the end-to-end group that do want to do work in India to start to get some exposure.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to do that. Yeah, and you'd attribute whoever, you know, gave it to you and all that sort of stuff, would you, or make the connection?
Yeah, no, I would then go back to my contact in India and say, look, deal with Peter. He's got a network of key people. Mm-hmm. Just so that you, whoever you then send it to, like might be something in Terry's field because of his location in KL, then mm-hmm. Terry would deal directly with the person, and you and I don't need to be involved. But it's just been a really good opportunity for us in magazines like the Indian equivalent of HBR or Forbes or some really good business magazines. And for the sake of an article, there's good editorial and good advertisement for the different people.
I think most people here or in the wider end-to-end community would love that. Yeah, thanks, Stephen. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen.
Okay, and I will make a point of sending a note around as to who is on the call today, and I better write everyone's name down so I don't forget while we're at it.
I wanted to share an insight that my colleagues that have had success with getting some traffic through Booth. Somebody had said the 1-2 punch. I'll add one more thing that my colleagues sort of do to get the flywheel going in terms of trying to drum up business. So it's a matter of some kind of publication, whether it's a book or a T&D at work, that's coupled with a presentation that then drives people to the booth, or the other way around. It's like you just get it creating a buzz, right, around your brand by having a piece that's at the bookstore or with something that is being presented at the conference, along with something that is at the booth, and you're just cross-promoting those things, right? Mm. Wherever people are going, they're hearing this consistent messaging about your product or your service, whatever that is, through different touch points, since it's just a large audience that could be geographically dispersed or that could be coming in from different areas. So my colleagues in the US that are successful, they aim to kind of come to market that way if they're trying to grow up business, and it not just be like a presencing thing. Like, so I had decided in the past that I was not going to pay a full price unless I was presenting to get some exposure in that way. And so this discussion here today has gotten me thinking about what I've heard from my other colleagues. I'm like, oh, I have to think bigger than that, actually, if you want to get a return, right? It has to be a bit more of an investment, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, one of the longest queues I saw all week was at Michael Bungay Stenier's booth after he'd done his session. Now, he's amazing on his feet. He's fabulous. And he's, you know, they had to turn people away from his session. But when he came back, he was signing books, you know, and he was just had a massive queue of people that he got through very quickly. But he's a bit of a rock star in that sense, which is great, great for him. But it's certainly paying off for him. I've just noticed the time. We're almost into our full hour. Yeah, thank you everyone for being here. Amazing. And thanks for sharing
thanks and for asking
questions too.